Again, it's good to see everyone out this evening. Those that are visiting, we want to welcome you tonight. It's good to be able to see those that are able to come back with a number. And those that are returning visitors tonight, we thank you for taking this opportunity to come together to be with brethren of like precious faith as we go to God's Word tonight to study just for a few moments. As we look and study, it is my goal and aim to present a lesson according to God's Word that can be understood and that we can be able to apply to our life, to be able to know more about His will. If you would, go ahead and open in your Bibles to the book of Jude. We'll be looking at verses 3 and 4. There's only one chapter there in this book. I want to consider looking at these verses for a few moments tonight. Had a good afternoon. Before we begin, it's a good afternoon again. Mama Hamilton took care of me, and we went down to visit Williamsburg and Yorktown today, and that was another treat, and I really appreciate it. And then had a good time with the Hagen family tonight and being able to get together with them and being able to sit down with them and get to know them a little bit better tonight. In Jude, chapter 1, again, verses 3 and 4, says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning your common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into the lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." As I've talked with some so far this week, I enjoy sports. Like watching them, very diverse. I enjoy football, basketball, baseball. But if I have to pick one that's my favorite, it's hockey. And it's because going to the live games, there's nothing compared to any other sport that I've ever been to. But one of the things, as I like watching as well on ESPN, get towards a playoff season. And you get to look at the different hockey teams. They were the first ones to come up with this idea. And they called it contenders or pretenders. And I was thinking about that and thinking about how we can apply it to a spiritual aspect. But what they did was they would look at the top eight teams that are going to make the playoffs on each division, and then they'll break it down and say, okay, is the number one team, are they contenders or pretenders? Are they going to be able to win the championship, or are they going to just kind of flop out? They'll break down each individual team and basically ask this question, contender or pretender, and they'll answer then explain why. And I think about that. In the world today, speaking about in the religious world. And Jude gives a good explanation of what's going on here. He's pointing out in these few verses that there are pretenders everywhere in the world. The gospel is being perverted. It's being changed. It's being altered. Ungodly men, as we read in verse 4, have come into the world and proclaimed to be men of God, to be ones that are following God, yet they deny the Lord. We were studying last night in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, about how can someone say that Jesus is Lord but do not do the things that that He says? Many come into the world to proclaim that they are followers of God, yet they deny the Lord. They don't heed the words that He has said and to follow. And the gospel, unfortunately, has been given over to ravenous wolves to seek, to tear, to destroy the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are many pretenders in the world. However, as we look at ourselves as Christians here tonight and those that have not yet obeyed, we are, as God has pointed out, to contend for the faith, to contend earnestly for the faith. We are here to protect and preserve the Word of God. If you look in the over in Matthew chapter 5, looking at verse 13, Jesus using a good analogy of who we're supposed to be, he goes on talking about being light in the verses after verse 13. But if you notice there, he talks about being salt. He says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Salt is a very interesting thing to study about and to look at. Because salt, it gives a lot of things flavor. But the people back then, they didn't have a nice big double door refrigerator to be able to store all their meat, or a nice big deep freeze cooler. They used salt to be able to preserve things, to be able to protect their meat or whatever it is they're trying to protect, to be able to use it over time. And Jesus uses this. He says, we're to be the salt of the earth. We are to preserve and protect the word. The question is, are we? Are we being pretenders? Or are we being contenders? Again, as we're pointing out and we'll be looking at tonight, there are many pretenders in the world today to claim to be men of God, to claim to be Christians. We can see their true colors if we go to God's Word. There's only a few contenders. We were studying on Sunday and looked a little bit last night as well about the fact that there are many who go in by the broad way, and there are few who go by the narrow way which leads to life. We need to ask ourselves the question of, are we numbered with those who are willing to contend for the faith? And I want to consider this for a few moments tonight. And beginning again talking about this in Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter there. Looking at verse 4. I want you to begin looking at this verse with me again. It says, "For certain men have crept in, unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." There are pretenders everywhere in the world today. This isn't a new problem. It isn't something that just all of a sudden happened at the spur of the moment here in this 20th century and 21st century. These things are not a new concept. If we go back to Galatians chapter 1, Paul, and we can look in many different verses and many different books in seeing the many problems that were going on as people were trying to turn others away from the truth. But as we look over in Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, as Paul in his introduction sees a concern with those churches in this region of Galatia, he says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Many in the world, including back then as we're reading, are trying to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul had a concern, as we can look and see in these few verses, about these things going on in Galatia. It gets to the point where he has to address it, and we have record of this, because of the fact they were turning back away so soon to a different gospel. Ravenous wolves came in, taught something else, yet they proclaimed to be ones of God. They proclaimed to be presenting a gospel. They proclaimed to be doing something that came from God. But Paul, addressing us, he says, there is no other gospel than what we have already preached to you. They were teaching a new doctrine through false teaching. It was a false doctrine that they were doing. They were trying to pretend to be a person of God. They have shred the gospel, basically. And they have tried, as we look in the rest, we're studying the book of Galatians on Sunday night, and we can see throughout the rest of these few chapters that we have that they were trying to get them to go back to the old covenant, to try to turn away from this new covenant, from this gospel that Paul delivered. They were trying to throw everything they possibly could, speaking of Jews, under the old covenant and Pharisees. They were all trying to get the people of Galatia to turn away from the gospel. These are ones who want to, as we say, stir up trouble. Stirring up trouble by presenting a new doctrine. There's a lot of problems with that because it causes such a great amount of deceitfulness in a congregation that it causes people to pick sides. And sadly, sometimes, as we see, and it's a sad thing to witness, people separate. Christians separate over such issues. Paul goes on to say some things concerning the gospel that has already been received. He says, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you to the grace of Christ, to a different gospel. And notice what he says immediately after that, which is not another. But there are some who want to trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. He goes on to point out, he breaks it down. He says, if I, Paul, go in and preach a different gospel to you than what I've already preached to you, consider me accursed. He goes on to say, if an angel comes to you in a vision or whatever it may be and tells you to preach a different gospel than what you've already received, consider it accursed. Don't receive, don't accept, don't let it go into your heart. Immediately throw it out. He goes on in that last verse in verse 10 to say, who are we seeking to please or to persuade? Are we seeking to please God and persuade men? Or are we trying to please men and persuade God? Which way is it? We should be found pleasing and acceptable to God. This is our reasonable service. We should be persuading men of the gospel that Christ has delivered to us through the Father's will. There are pretenders everywhere in the world. We have to monitor ourselves and make sure that we're seeking to please God. When we are presenting the gospel, we're not pretending to be a Christian and presenting a false doctrine, for instance, as we're looking here in Galatians chapter 1. Many go to such measures just to turn one away from God. We were looking at this verse just for a moment on Sunday morning during our Bible study time. We look over Matthew chapter 23 again. Matthew chapter 23, as we were just mentioning the Pharisees just a moment ago, Jesus rebukes them for their ways, for some of their practices that they were doing. Matthew chapter 23, looking at verse 15, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. The Pharisees, as we look and see, it wasn't something new after Jesus in heaven. They were doing it while Jesus was here. He says, you try to go land and sea. You try to take every measure you possibly can to turn one away from God. They were, as we could say, they were pretty consistent in their actions. They were pretty active. They wouldn't stop until they got one more proselyte. They would do it at any cost, as Jesus was pointing out. They would go land and sea. They'd go as far beyond as they could possibly go, and just to win one more soul. Once one did obey, they were confused, and they were worse off because they think that what they're doing is right. They're worse off because they've been given a false hope. The Pharisees, preaching about how this is the right way, giving someone a false hope once they convert and they obey this doctrine. They think they're all right. And in the end, as we were pointing out last night, not every religious person is going to be saved. We have to make sure that we're doing it with the right knowledge that God has given us. You look at the Pharisees and see how consistent and persistent that they were at trying to convert one more soul. Does that sound familiar in today's religious world? It seems like as we look in the religious world today that there are many who go to an extreme measure just to win one more soul, just to get one more soul to their doctrine. And what are they? They're not helping them. They're making them worse off because they're being filled with that false hope. There are pretenders everywhere in the world. And we have to be mindful and watchful of those things. Many will go and pretend to be followers of God and pervert the gospel. With this, they're deceiving many and putting them worse off, as what we were just pointing out. You look in 2 Peter chapter 2, there is many things that are mentioned here concerning false teachers. We can see about how they're destructive, how their ways are destructive and how they're not helping. And you get down to verse 18 and looking to the rest of the chapter. It says, "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness." Just read those first few words again. Speaking about false teachers. "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness," they're not giving them what one needs. "They allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, and having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns his own vomit, and a sow having washed her wallowing in the mire." Many will pretend to be followers of God, and with this they're deceiving many, filling one up with great swelling words of emptiness. If I remember right, what is great swelling words of emptiness? If you fill some up with emptiness, what is it going to do? It's going to leave them hungry. I think about how I got an uncle down in Indiana. He's got used to have a lot of beef cattle. And I know a lot of farmers did it. But you always need to feed them what? Hay. You need to feed them hay because it gives them all the nutrients and it fills them up and gives them what they need. But then you get some who try to cut the cost. And what do? They fill them with straw. It doesn't have the nutrients. It doesn't have everything that cattle need. And you keep on filling them with it. Their bellies are getting, they're expanding, they're getting bigger, but they die off. Why? Because they don't have what they need. They're being filled with emptiness. That's what false prophets are doing. Filling one up, filling a Christian up, filling a soul up with big swelling words of emptiness. And when one passed away, they haven't turned away from that or obeyed God's will. The end is pretty bad. Even ones that have escaped it once, they've fallen back in. And even the Christians sometimes, if they entangle themselves with such things, they give in to such doctrines. Once saved, but now forgotten about the Lord. You think about that. And reading those verses again, those last two verses, talking about how it would have been better for one not to have known the way. The reason is because they realized they had it at one point. They had salvation. And if they pass away, they realize it, and it's too late. They had it in their fingertips, but they decided to go and turn away from God. And now they're lost. Through their want of perverting the gospel and turning away from God and trying to persuade others. There are many pretenders in the world, pretending to be someone that they're not. Many cause others to stumble, young and old, in the faith and in age. Read about this over in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, looking at verse 42. Says, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would have been better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Many pretenders cause children of faith to stumble. And what would it be better for them to do? Jesus pointed out, you know, talking about children, if he causes a child to stumble, even a child of faith, if he causes them to stumble, what would it be better for them to do? Put a millstone around their neck and just throw them off into the sea. That's how effective pretenders are. That's what happens with a pretender is that they fill someone up and it would be better for them just to go out and hang a millstone around their neck. Pretenders are everywhere. Again, as we're trying to illustrate this as we look in Jude chapter 1, verse 4. Trying to actively get another soul to follow their doctrine. Pretenders in the body of Christ have limitations. They only get so far in life. If we look over in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Looking at verse 26. It says, if anyone comes to me, does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Pretenders will only go so far. They have limitations, even in the body of Christ. Talking about those that are Christians in name only. They'll only go so far. They have limitations. They haven't sat down and understood what the cost of being a disciple of Christ truly is. We have to be mindful and ask the question of, are we pretenders? Are we willing to change? Are we willing to go the distance to be called a disciple of God? Contenders are needed. So we go back to Jude, verse 3. It says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Many are called, few will be chosen. Matthew 7, verse 14, those that enter by the narrow way, everyone has an opportunity to choose that path, but few will take that path. Few will go and go the distance and contend earnestly for the faith, even though the number is great, even though we may be outnumbered, we still must contend earnestly for the faith. We look in the world today and we see how many faithful brethren there are throughout the entire world. Is the brethren here at Rivermont, they support many people overseas as well. There are many Christians throughout the world. But I think we can all agree there are a lot more who are not Christians. Even though we may be outnumbered, we still need to contend earnestly for the faith. We need to protect ourselves with the armor God has given. So we look over in Ephesians chapter 6. You know, a song we just sang just a few moments ago. Stand up for Jesus. We need to make a stand for Christ. Standing for truth, contending for the faith, and protecting ourselves with the armor that God has given us. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." We need to protect ourselves in contending for the faith and being a contender for God. We have to protect ourselves with the armor that God has given us. God has given us all things that we need in this life to contend for the faith. He's also given us the greatest offensive weapon and the only offensive weapon that we need in this spiritual warfare, being the sword of the Spirit. So we look over in Hebrews chapter 4, looking at verse 12. You know, we look at all the different things that are mentioned there in Ephesians, and we read about the one offensive weapon. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 gives a better explanation of how great this weapon truly is. Hebrew author says here, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God has given us all things to protect ourselves, to be able to go out with an offensive weapon, to be able to go and touch others' hearts with his word, to be able to help one another realize what their estate is and what they need to do in order to be saved, to be a contender for God. As Paul mentions, we need to run the race. We look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. As Paul is coming towards the end of his letter here and towards the end of his life, as we look, he mentions some final and encouraging words that Timothy needed to work continually for the Lord, because his work would not be in vain. And the reason is because I fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. As Paul mentions, we need to run the race with endurance. Fight the good fight of faith. Use the things that God has given us to be able to protect ourselves and to be able to go out and help another lost soul come to the understanding of obeying his will. Because in the end, there is a crown laid up for me. The hope and promise of eternal life is waiting for those who are willing to contend for the faith. It's a continual battle. When we obey the gospel, that's just the beginning point of our life. We still have to continue to stand for truth and continue to contend for the faith. We need to ask ourselves the question, where do we stand? Are we continuing to stand for the truth? Are we continuing to stand for the faith and contend earnestly for the faith? Are we doing everything that we possibly can to serve the Lord, to be called a well done, good and faithful servant? Are we willing to run the race? Are we willing to continue in our efforts every day for God? We're in a point of time that we can have the ease of obeying and following God. What I mean is, as you look at the persecutions that were going on back in Paul's day, back in Peter and John's day, it was pretty extreme. We may not see it as bad today. There are some countries that still make it difficult for one to be called a Christian. But you don't read about it as often or see it or witness it. I know recently in recent events in these last couple days, we've seen some that have happened where people have said they were Christians and they were persecuted over it. But we're in a point where we have the ease of obeying God a little bit easier and following God. But we need to ask ourselves a question. If the times get harder, will we continue to stand for truth? When we look in our society today, in our country today, seems like sometimes as we look at how things are going, I know it is today is election day also, sometimes it's getting a little bit harder sometimes. You know, we look and some people are trying to limit the amount of religion in school, taking Bibles out of the libraries in school, taking the name of In God We Trust off a lot of things in the world. Another big thing is they're trying to eliminate the Ten Commandments as something being posted in some of the courthouses throughout the U.S. Some things are getting a little bit tougher. Are we willing to continue to stand for God during these tough times? Will we set a limitation? We shouldn't be. When we obey God, we're giving God our all. We're not going to say, well, if it gets to this point, I'm going to have to stop being a Christian. We should never have that idea. There should never be a point where we say, if it gets this far, I'm not going to be a Christian. We have to continue to stand for the truth in the good times, in the bad times. There should never be any type of limitation. Jesus is looking for workers. If you look over in Luke chapter 10, looking at verse 2. Luke chapter 10, looking at verse 2, says, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus is looking for laborers right now. We need to ask ourselves a question, are we willing? Are we willing to go during the good times, during the bad times, and continue to work and labor in the harvest that's going on right now? We were reading last night in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, talking about, do we want to be sent? Isaiah saying, here am I, send me. Is that the type of attitude we're having? Will we say that I want to contend for God? Are we willing to say, Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm here to stand for truth. I'm here to go. I want to go, and I'm ready. Send me out, and I can go and contend for the faith. Times are here when many are professing false doctrines. You know, I remember where I was at in Indiana for a short amount of time. If you go within a mile where the church building was at, I kid you not, there was 20 congregations. Just within a mile. And it seems like the length of this pulpit was right next door to us, the Church of Christ. Paul says, United Church of Christ. There were differences. They believed in some things that, you know, believing in having fellowship halls and instrumental music and things like that. It was right next door to us. Many are professing false doctrines in the world today. We could just take a drive right here within a couple miles and we can see There are many different doctrines. There are many different churches. Different doctrines being professed. Are we showing the error when one teaches it? When one teaches something in error, are we showing that that is wrong according to God's word? Are we contending for God? Are we giving a defense? Good verse to think about over in 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, looking at verse 15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Are we giving a defense for God? We talk to someone, a neighbor, a coworker, a friend, a family member, and they may be having questions or they're trying to profess something as being false. Are we ready to stand for God? Are we ready to contend for the faith and take that necessary stand for the truth? God is looking for those to go and preach the gospel. Jesus charging the apostles in Mark 16, 15, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." God is looking for those to go stand for truth and preach the gospel. We need to contend earnestly for the faith. We shouldn't stray from the faith and not go at it half-heartedly. If we're going to be a Christian and call ourselves a Christian, we have to go in it all the way. 110%. We can't just say, well, 90% of my time will go to God and then divide the road. No, we have to go with it with a full intention, a full devotion, a full enthusiastic zeal and passion for God. We have to give God our all our strength, all our mind, everything. When it comes to God and His will, we have to give God our all. You know, as we're pointing out tonight, as we look in drawing this lesson to a conclusion, there are many pretenders in the world today. Many pretenders in the world, and only a few contenders. We need to ask ourselves a question tonight. Are you a contender? Are we a contender? Will we go all the way with God? Or will we set limitations? There shouldn't be any limitation when it comes to God. We have to give God our all. God is needing those to contend earnestly to obey His will. And tonight we want to ask the question, will you obey His will? Are you ready to obey His will? Are you ready to contend for the faith? Time is now for action, for us to begin tonight to contend earnestly for the faith. If you're here tonight and you have not yet obeyed God's will and you're ready and understand the necessary role of wanting to contend for the faith, if you're willing to obey God tonight through hearing the gospel, believing in Jesus Christ being Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins tonight and confess your belief before the congregation, you can have your sins washed away. You can begin tonight contending for the faith. And if you're made faithful to God, you can have the hope and promise of eternal life. If you're here tonight and you have fallen short of God's glory and you once have obeyed the gospel, the opportunity is now tonight to begin your life in contending for God once again. If you're willing to come forward, ask God for forgiveness and repent of your sins, we can pray for you, we can help you, we can encourage you. If you need prayers of encouragement, I know as we look out in the world, it is a tough place. It is a difficult place to be a Christian. But we still have a duty and role to do in obeying God and continuing to be a light in this community. If you need prayers of encouragement, we'd love to be able to pray for you, help you, encourage you any way possible. All you have to do is just come forward tonight. Let your request be known here at the front pew, and we'll be glad to help you in any way. All you have to do is just come forward now, and you can do so all together while we stand and while we sing.